Well, I'm delighted this evening to have joining us the Associate Professor of Infectious Degrees. He's an Infectious Degrees expert, Mark Thomas. And it's interesting to note that we've got a new report that has come out, and it's talk about overprescribed antibiotics. And I think this is something that perhaps we don't know enough of in New Zealand, but it seems to me that it's something that we should become more familiar with. So welcome this evening to Radio Wātea, Mark. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Maripeka. It's a real pleasure to be on the radio with you.
Thank you. Now, whenever I see overprescribed, something's been overprescribed, I usually think, well, the need must be there. There must be a need for it. But that might not necessarily be the case with this report that's just been recently released.
So the report is actually about prescribing or the sales of antibiotics for use in agriculture and in livestock farming. And what it says is that in New Zealand, the use of antibiotics in farming for livestock and for plants is extremely low, and that the vets in New Zealand have made about 2015-2017 made a determination that they were going to really cut back on antibiotic use in animals. They set a great example for our country, and they've followed up, and there has been a great reduction in antibiotic use farming in New Zealand, going to animals and onto, you know, trees. But unfortunately, antibiotics are too heavily used in people in New Zealand. Not so much people in hospitals. Our use in hospitals is about similar to other countries that are good examples of antibiotic using in hospitals. We are high users in the community. That means antibiotics that have been obtained from the local chemist. And we use far more, maybe twice as much as we should. And that increases the rate at which germs become resistant in people in New Zealand. And so we have relatively high rates of antibiotic resistance in New Zealand because we have high rates of antibiotic use in people. And that's almost entirely due to antibiotics that have been dispensed from your local chemist, prescribed for you mostly by your family doctor, although sometimes by other doctors as well.
Well, that's I could fully understand your explanation there, Mark. And it does seem to me then that the vets and the people who are working in the agricultural sector, that they are leading the way, because if there's been a reduction, if as you say, in 2015, they committed to reducing the use of antibiotics, then they've obviously perhaps looked at where they can, what they can do. I'm not sure if they're going more naturopathic or whatever, but then perhaps the medical profession, in terms of what, as you said, what the pharmacists and the GPs prescribe, maybe they should be looking at an alternative method as well.
Well, yes, exactly. Unfortunately, most of the antibiotic that is unnecessarily prescribed and dispensed, and mostly it's for people with coughs and colds, yeah? Virus winter infections. That's not all of it, but that's the biggest chunk of it, is people with coughs and colds often thinking, oh, this cold, it's a cold, I'm sure it's a cold, but it seems to be worse than one I've had last few years. Or this cold, it's a cold, yeah, I think it's a cold, it's almost certainly caused by virus, but it's hanging on a bit longer. I've had it now for 5 or 6 days or 7. I think I'll go and see the GP and get something to knock it on the head. And by the time a person's had a cold for 6 or 7 days, they're probably 5 or 6 days away from the cold going away completely. And so they go and see their GP. And sometimes the GP knows, well, almost always the GP knows, this is a cold and you don't need an antibiotic. But sometimes they want to keep the patient happy. Yeah, they've got someone in front of them who's gone to the trouble of coming to see them. They're going to pay something, you know, at the reception as they go out. And they want to keep that patient happy. And so sometimes, more than they should, they'll then prescribe an antibiotic. And it's a problem all around the world. But it's a problem that is bigger in New Zealand than in many other countries around the world. And it's something that the doctors know about and people know about as well. But it's something that's an ingrained habit, as it were. And we have been, in general practice in New Zealand, where most of these antibiotics are prescribed, have been reducing the amount that they've been prescribing in recent years, but it hasn't been coming down as fast, for instance, as the antibiotics coming down in veterinary medicine. Well, we've got a long way to go before we get to being good.
Well, it seems to me then that we're developing, well, the general public could, as you say, possibly develop a higher resistance or a higher tolerance. Well, am I saying a higher tolerance then in terms of what would be better for them? Because if they...
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Mary Peck, except that what is happening is it's not changing in this respect with regard to antibiotic resistance. It's not changing the person. It's changing the germs. And so there are some germs out there that are resistant to some antibiotics. MRSA is one that's resistant to lots of different antibiotics. And, you know, it causes boils and can be hard to treat. And it's them that are changing. The more antibiotics we use in our community, the more those MRSA are the germs that flit from person to person. If we used less antibiotics, we'd have less MRSA flitting from person to person. And so we'd have less infections caused by MRSA. And we've got relatively high rates of MRSA compared with other countries in the world that use much less antibiotics. So often people think, I'm becoming immune to the antibiotic. No, that doesn't happen. But the germs that are living on our bodies and then frequently causing infections, they are becoming resistant to the antibiotics. The antibiotics don't kill them as well as they used to.
Well, because we've got, obviously, with our Māori population, we've got respiratory problems. Sometimes they don't go to the doctor until it's too late. So they're hoping for an antibiotic, you know, biotic that will help them get back into their workplace as soon as possible. But it could actually be having a negative effect, perhaps, on our Māori and Pacifica communities.
Absolutely. It's the antibiotics sometimes are absolutely necessary, not for virus infections, but for bacterial infections, which are much, much less common. But so sometimes they're absolutely necessary. And for Maori and Pacific people, the antibiotic is particularly necessary for treating sore throats to try and prevent rheumatic fever. So that's another big sort of issue as well. And the doctors know about all of this, but we just need to, as a community, both the us as patients and doctors who are prescribing for people in the community, we all need to agree that we've been using too much and that it would be sensible for us to reduce it. You can understand, though, that someone might say, well, look, I've had a cold like this before, two or three times, and when it's been bad, I've gone to the GP, and the GP's given me Augmentin or some other antibiotic, and I've got better. And why aren't you doing that, you know? I'm not very happy with you. I might go and see another doctor if you, you know, unless you think about it again. Yeah, people might not speak quite like that to the GP, but they might think like that. And so the GPs are often trying to, you know, keep their customers, their patients happy. Yeah, and it's perfectly understandable. They don't want their GPs, their patients, to be annoyed with them. And so we need a community-wide awareness that we're using too much. And it would be far more sensible if our doctors said to us, no, you've got a virus there, and you really don't need an antibiotic, and you will come right over the next 4 or 5 days or a week.
So allowing the virus to run its course rather than just writing a prescription for antibiotics, and you know, because it'll be the fix that the desirable fix, but knowing though that really. It's long term over a period of time, it actually probably will weaken the opportunity for the body to adjust next time around.
Yep. So I'm going to disagree with that. It doesn't weaken the body at all. Doesn't weaken the body for the next time around, but it makes it more likely that the germ that comes along next time and the actual bacteria, so that won't be causing a cold or a minor cough, it might be causing boils, or impetigo. Or it might be a germ causing a urinary tract infection or some other common infection that's caused by a bacterium that might be caused by a bacterium that's hard to treat, And so it's not that it's changing the person's body and making them less able to fight infections. No, they'll just be as good as ever. But the germ that's causing the infection, if it's a bacterium, might be harder to treat with antibiotics. And that's what we're worried about. And so, yes, when the person has a cold caused by a virus, just like COVID, antibiotics won't work against it. You can take the antibiotics, and it doesn't make you get any better, any faster. You just get better the way your immune system helps you to recover from colds normally. Mm. But you've dosed up your body with the antibiotics, and that's helped to select germs living on you and in you that might be resistant to that antibiotic, and you might pass them to other members of the whānau that might spread around a bit, and then they might cause, as I said, boils or a sty or an infected wound or infected graze, or a urinary infection or sometimes pneumonia.
My goodness! I didn't realize that while it might have an effect. It could have actually a knock-on effect somewhere else, as you just said, a boil or... Mm.
Absolutely, yes.
And so with the COVID, and of course, to a great extent, that is behind us, although we should always be vigilant, would the prescribing of antibiotics, would the expectation then, Mark, be from the consumer, from the patient, that it's definitely the antibiotic that I want?
Well, no. For COVID, antibiotics don't work. And so we should not be expecting, and most people, I think, have learned that you got COVID. There is an antiviral drug, not an antibiotic, but an antiviral drug that can be helpful for COVID. But mostly, most people don't need that, and they just need time to get over the COVID. And so COVID is like colds, a bit more severe than an ordinary cold, or the flu, and we just get over them with our own immune system. And you can take an antibiotic, and it doesn't get you any better, any faster, or any quicker.
Right. Well, it just seems to me that I guess these days, people, if after a week, their cold, it doesn't seem to have got better, possibly got worse. I think what they're looking for is pretty much the instant effect of the antibiotic. And so it could be that while it might be desirable to let the virus run its course, people probably want that quicker fix. And so that's what they would be requesting from their doctor. So it's going to be, I suspect, Mark, it'll be a difficult conversation with the doctor if he's saying, well, listen, I think that, you don't need an antibiotic. Perhaps, get to stay in bed a couple of days, wrap yourself up or whatever, rather than the antibiotic. So it might not be an easy conversation with the doctor-patient.
Absolutely, it's not an easy conversation. But the doctor knows that if the studies show that if 1,000 people with exactly that same cold on day 6 or day 7 of the cold went to their doctor and got given a prescription for antibiotics, and 1,000 people who are otherwise identical also had a cold that had gone on for 6 or 7 days, stayed at home and looked after themselves, everybody gets better at basically the same rate. And so you take an antibiotic and you give it the credit for getting better. But you got better just at the same rate as you would if you'd never taken the antibiotic. And you think, well, I had a cold, it had gone on for a bit longer, I went to the doctor gave me an antibiotic, I took the antibiotic, and you know what, 3 or 4 days later, 5 or 6, I was better. Yeah, just as well I went to the doctor. But if they'd stayed home, not taken any of that, they would have got better at the same time anyway. And that's what the studies very, very clearly, again and again and again, all around the world show.
Well, then there's an education program. There's definitely an awareness raising, if you want to call it, rather than education, an awareness raising required of the doctors, I'm sure they understand it, but of their willingness to perhaps say, well, listen, you're on the right track, good that you've been here, but an antibiotic is not necessary, and do what you've been doing, and within 3 or 4 days, you'll be right as rain again.
That's right. And you know what, Maripeka, you're helping as well, because lots of people who hear this will think, the next time I'm going to save myself the trouble. I know it's a cold. I know what a cold is. I've had lots of them before, or I've seen my kids with colds. I know this is a cold, right? And yes, it's going on a bit longer, but I've still got an appetite. I'm not burning up with a fever. I've got a reasonable amount of energy, but I've got a cold, yeah? Snotty nose and feeling all blocked up in my face and whatever. I don't need to go to the doctor. I don't need to go, because the truth is, every time I've had one of these before, I've got better in the end. Sometimes I've taken antibiotics, sometimes I haven't, and I get better about the same rate as when I don't take the antibiotics, or the same rate as if I did. So I'll just stay home. And don't put the doctor in the situation where she or he thinks, I better make this person happy by giving them something.
Well, that's a very good summary of it, Mark. Can I just ask you, now that we're going into summer, are infectious diseases, are they a 12-monthly, what would you call it, when I say business zone, that's not the right word, but they can happen at any time. There's not infectious diseases that are more prone to the summer months than the winter months, are they? I just thought, well, I might as well get that question in, seeing we're heading towards summer. So, but they're just all year round, aren't they?
They mostly are all year round, but there's a bit of change in some things. There's a few people maybe listening might have had vomiting and diarrhea after eating an undercooked chicken that came off the barbecue when some bloke was doing the barbecuing and took one, thought it looked a bit okay on the outside, but it was still a bit pink inside, yeah? And so that's a summer activity, chicken off the barbecue. And so there's a bit more vomiting and diarrhea from that in the summer than there is in the winter. There's also a bit more people getting into spa pools and getting little sort of like tiny little boils in their hair follicles from the germ that sometimes multiplies in spa pools. And that's a sort of a summertime activity. Wintertime is colds and the flu. So it does vary with the seasons, but in different sorts of ways.
Yes, well, that's really, really very interesting because, you know, I tend to think of infectious diseases as something that, what would you call it? It's very intense. It's very, it's a real specialized disease that not many people get. And when you do get it, it's something that, you know, it could be notifiable or something like that. So it's interesting to hear you say that, no, there's lots of things that can happen. And as you say, coming into the summer months, the barbecue, you're quite right. There's things that we need to watch around that space too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So impetigo, boils, they're probably a bit more common in the summer. People bumping into each other, coming in contact with other people's germs, having little injuries and, you know, getting them infected, cuts and scratches.
I suppose, Mark, really, most of it is common sense, I would think. You know, like prevention is worth, so much more than cure. So I guess it is about common sense. It's about washing your hands, making sure that your utensils are clean, or, you know, your workspace, your work area is clean, putting stuff back in the fridge, all of those sort of things that we know, particularly over summertime with food. So I always say most things, you know, it's common sense that carries the day.
Absolutely. And what I'm saying with regard to antibiotics and overuse in people, it's mostly for colds. And most people with the common sense know that some colds go for longer and others go for shorter. And everyone's pleased when one goes away after 2 or 3 days. But the one that hangs around for a week, let me tell you, you're wasting your time and money to go to your GP. The GP may give you a prescription for an antibiotic. You may get it from the chemist and then take it and then get better. But it was you getting better on your own, and the antibiotics made no difference at all. You like to think it's made some difference because you took the time to go to the doctor and the doctor took the time to write your prescription and you went and got it from the chemist. And it seems as though all that trouble must make some difference, but it didn't.
Look, Mark, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you this evening, and it certainly does... It does suggest that the veterinarians in this country are more prone to taking action because that's what will lower the prescription of antibiotics. And maybe the colleagues on the medical side, the GPs, need to perhaps follow suit.
They are following suit just a little bit more slowly than they maybe should.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Mark. Lovely to talk with you this evening.
Thank you, Mirapeka. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk with you.
Kia ora, thank you so much.
Bye.
Very nice to talk with Associate Professor Mark Thomas. He is an infectious diseases expert. And, you know, it is interesting, isn't it? Because we do tend to think about anything these days. Oh, let's get let's go and get an antibiotic and that'll fix us. But as Professor Mark Thomas did say, actually, most of these things can run their course. You don't need to. Keep yourself warm, keep yourself at home, and common sense will prevail. And within a few days, without the extra expense of going to your doctor, you'll be right as rain. All good common sense. Nice to talk with him this evening.